work that time. We're on record. Welcome to our Tuesday night celebration of life. Tonight we're beginning with quality number one, connection with people. Excited to have you here with me. I'm looking forward to being of service to you this evening as we go through this particular segment of the qualities of an intentional creator. This is where it really all begins. And many of you have tremendous gifts in this area in your assessment. As always, I want to start with the assessment so we can focus on the measurements that we're going to be addressing this evening. If you'll turn to your assessment on the left-hand side at the very top, it's connection with people. There are six measurements. The first measurement is empathetic. And the question is asked, can we see the pricelessness in another human being? Now, if this measurement starts to turn orange, what we know is that someone is holding back just a little bit in their thought processes. They're not quite all in, if you will, in terms of connection with a person, generally because of one of two things, either people fatigue, a little tired, or two, there may have been something that's happened in a relationship that's caused them to be just a little wounded, just a little cautious. So if you have orange, just reflect on your life and say, am I tired of just having to deal with people? Am I a little cautious and careful? And just ask yourself, in what ways is this impacting my ability to step into someone's world, to listen, to connect with them? Because we don't have to give up our identity to connect with another person. That's not what empathy is about. Empathy is about being able to see their pricelessness, listen to their issues, focus on their challenges, helping them feel understood. We'll address that as we go through the qualities of intrinsic validation. Second measurement, respectful. This is orange about 92% of the time. Many of you may have this measurement orange. And when it's orange, it's generally leaning to what's called over-focus, which means we're over-focused or over-emphasizing a person's outward appearance. When we do that, we can either create an expectation for how they'll perform based on how they look, and if we do, we'll most likely be disappointed. Or two, we might feel initially just a little intimidated, just a little uncomfortable, because of who they are. Now we spend a little time around them, we'll get increasingly comfortable, we'll get past that initial thought process. That initial thought process can cause us from being comfortable. If you're in a home-based business, for an example, and there's someone you would like to talk to about your business, we would call this a chicken list. Someone who looks highly successful, who may not need what you have, although you would like to talk to them, but because of who they are, their title, their possessions, we might be intimidated to do so. So just take a look at that measurement. If it's orange, say, gosh, do I ever feel, you know, that sweaty palm, dry mouth kind of uneasiness? Or do I create expectations based on how someone will perform, based on how they look? They look like they're capable. They say they're capable. They're all excited. And then they don't perform. Next measurement is accepting. Now we're valuing a person based on their belief systems. Can we see their belief and give them space, if you will, to sometimes follow their beliefs, sometimes not, because no one ever lives up to 100% of what they believe? Can we see the good? Can we see the challenges and see it in balance? Or are we more focused on what's wrong? Because if we are, we will find it. The question is, can we trust it if we're not balancing it with what's good? If all we're doing is looking for the good, we're going to be, the word is Pollyannish. We're going to be naive. And we're going to make decisions about people based on their belief systems. They're in the same political party. They believe the same things spiritually or religiously. And so we might trust them more based on their belief system, which is going to set us up for disappointment as well. Next measurement is tolerant. What happens when someone has a different belief system, socioeconomic kind of a belief system, idea, religion, politics? Can we see risks? Are there some belief systems that are dangerous? The answer is yes. And one of them could be, it's kind of innocuous, but somebody doesn't believe in working. Someone doesn't believe in paying their way. And they look needy, and so we help them. It's like teaching the man how to fish versus giving them a fish. And we give a fish, and we give a fish, and we give a fish. They gladly take the fish. All of a sudden, one day, we're out of fish. We say, I can't give you any more fish. And we end up being the bad guy. This isn't about compassion. This isn't about service. This is about whether or not we can see the risks associated with someone who thinks differently than us. When this measurement starts turning orange and red, it generally means we're unable to see the risk. We'll probably be saving underdogs, spending a lot of time trying to save people. We call it a messianic or a messiah complex. We feel this need to save everybody, and sometimes more than they actually want to be saved. So take a look at your assessment. See if tolerance is orange or red. Ask yourself, how often do I feel obligated, like it's my responsibility? And how many times have I been burned when I've done that? That doesn't mean we don't do it. It just means we do it with our eyes wide open. Awareness. Next measurement, just and fair. Now we're evaluating someone based on performance. Their performance is not up to par. What do we do? They might keep doing something that irritates us or frustrates us, or they may continually do less than is expected of them. What is our thought process saying? Can we appropriately confront them? And by confrontation, we don't mean something negative. We mean, can we step into their world, understand where they are, and then make a wise and appropriate decision based on that discovery? We may find out this person is late for work because his wife has cancer and he has to take her in for chemotherapy twice a week. Wouldn't that be a great thing to know? Because then we could be supportive. Why don't you plan on coming in an hour later, make sure you get her there and home okay, and anything else we can do to support you? Valuable employee, they just started showing up late. At the same time, all of a sudden, well, I've been staying out late with my buddies, and you know, I haven't been getting enough sleep, and I'm really sorry. Well, we have one more week. I need you to be on time, because if you're not on time next week, we're going to replace you. Clarity. Absolute clarity. This isn't confrontation in that we accuse or demean. It's that we care enough to step into their world to find out what's really happening. We take the time to do so. Because when just and fair starts turning orange, it generally means that when something happens that's negative, somebody's performance is under par, we're going to talk ourselves out of saying something. That's stressful enough. I can't afford to lose the partnership. I don't want to blow up my relationship. And so we take those infractions, if you will, and put them in a gunny sack. And more of them, and more of them, and more of them, until there's no room left in the gunny sack. We do one more thing, and we either leave or we dump the gunny sack. And when we dump that gunny sack, we're very emotional and frustrated, and the person's going to say something like, why are you so emotional? All I said was, all I did was, because when we don't address issues as they occur, it's as if we're giving tacit approval. We're saying it's okay. So if you've got this measurement, just and fair, orange, we're going to want to learn how to step into a person's world, especially when behavior is not appropriate. It's not this typical confrontation of what in the heck's going on. Share with me what's happening. You've been late the last few mornings. Is there anything I can do? Share with me what's causing this challenge for you. And we care enough to find out what it is. Last measurement's compassion. Compassion, passion, a willingness to suffer for something we love. Compassion, willingness to suffer with someone we love. Can we see their pain? Can we see their challenges? And often this measurement turns orange because of the magnitude of our personal challenges. We've got that proverbial broken ankle, if you will. How could we ever pay attention to somebody's blister on their toe when I've got a broken ankle? Now, if they get a broken ankle or two broken ankles, now it's serious enough for me to actually see. But when it's like trivial, don't bother me with your blister. I got a broken ankle. And the secret is this: compassion has nothing to do with us. It's not about our broken ankle. The question is, can we see the other person's blister and what it's doing to them? Now, that's hard to do when you got a lot going on in your life. So if your measurement's orange, just look over on the right-hand side of your assessment and go, what's happening here? What's going on in my world that would get in my way and preclude me from being able to notice somebody else's pain? Well, these are six ways we evaluate a person. We value a person: pricelessness, appearance, beliefs, different beliefs, performance, and challenges. This is, we're asking really overall for this section, how clear is our empathy and intuition? Now, Ogg tells us in scroll number 2, which is the scroll we're going to study this week, the love scroll, that the greatest secret of success in all ventures is love. This is agape love. Agape meaning a heightened level of awareness. Agape is Greek for one of the four forms of love in Greek: eros, pia, philo, agape. Heightened level of awareness. Can we step back and see what's really going on in a person's life? How accurate are we going to be? Greatest secret of success. Ogg went on to say, muscle can split a shield and even destroy life, but only the unseen power of love, only this will open the hearts of men. Until I master this art, I'm no more than a peddler in the marketplace. In other words, when we walk through life focused on our broken ankle, judging people, being frustrated, and our intuition isn't accurate, we're at best a peddler in the marketplace. We're just trying to sell our goods, if you will. We want to raise our awareness and learn the principles for focusing on another human being. Well, I've been on a film shoot all day, and we've had a company wanting me to participate in some things they're doing. So we've been talking about this area, this particular area today. It's been very interesting. I want to walk you through an outline. So that we can start to apply these principles in our life, because until we do, we are no more than a peddler in a marketplace. Part of the discussion today was around introversion, extroversion. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, that a significant part of the population is introverted. They draw their strength from solitude, not from being with people. Extroverts draw their strength from being with people. We talked about that an introvert is a good listener, an observer of people. They really can connect with people at very deep and rich levels because they're already in that kind of a space. I just want you to reflect for a moment. Where are you? What is your natural tendency when it comes to connecting with people? Are you the kind of person who loves to go into a room with people you've never met and just meet everybody and learn all kinds of stuff about those people? Or given the option of doing that or staying home and reading a book, which do you want to do? So there's nothing wrong with either one of those. It's just becoming aware of who we truly are. What do we like? Where do we draw our strength? Because if you're going to step out into public, and you're going to want to, one of the great techniques is for you to become conscious of the dialogue you're having with yourself about yourself, because that's really what's happening. It is with myself, about myself, how I'm going to be perceived, how I'm going to feel, what's going to be like for me. A very subtle shift And I've shared with all of you, I'm introverted. I do this all the time. I'm getting ready to step into this arena. Nobody knows who I am. I'm just part and parcel of everybody's there for the night. I have to consciously say to myself, I'm going to step into the world of the people here tonight. I'm going to find out as much as I can about them because somebody here needs my service. Now, that sounds pretty dramatic. But sometimes I need something that dramatic to feel comfortable in that kind of setting. If you're the same way, then just smile with me and go, wow, really? Yeah. And the more people I share that with in private, the more I find out how many people really are in that space. They need to consciously shift their thought processes from themselves to others. If there's anyone I can put on my path that I can serve, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path. I'm going to step in there tonight, and I'm just going to look around and get an impression to talk to this person, step into their world. I'm here to serve. And so long as we step into that room there to serve, just to listen, we don't have to have advice. We don't have to have answers. We just listen. We care enough to find out about this person. We can be extremely comfortable in that setting because it's no longer about us. There's something we're going to want to do. If you feel any introversion, hesitancy, discomfort, just consciously make that shift. As you're getting prepared for the evening, when you're getting ready to step into the room, I am here to serve, that's all. I'm going to listen. I'm going to ask empathetic questions. This is not about me. I'm going to leave everybody I talk to tonight better off than when I found them. We make that shift and we move in. Well, here's the outline. This agape love we're talking about. It's heightened level of awareness. The very first thing that we want to explore. Agape love tells us that we look at things differently. If you've got your scrolls handy, I'm looking at scroll number 2. And Og said something in scroll number 2 I mentioned a few weeks ago I didn't notice for almost a decade. After he talked about being no more than a peddler in the marketplace, and that love's his greatest weapon, and that my reasoning they counter to them, my speech they may distrust, my apparel they may disapprove, my face they may reject, and even my bargains may cause them suspicion. Yet my love will melt all hearts like unto the sun whose rays soften the coldest clay. I'll agree to stay with love in my heart. But he asked that question, and how will I do this? How will I do this? And we discover the ingredients of agape love. First of all, I will look on all things with love, with awareness, and I'll be born again. I'll look at them anew. I'll see them differently. And he gives us all kinds of examples. I'll love the sun, for it warms my bones. Think about a time in your life when the sun was shining and it was warming your bones. It was just a wonderful time. Yet I will love the rain, for it cleanses my spirit. Did you have something happen in your life? Just washed away a lot of things, leaving your spirit exposed, and you got back in touch with it. He says, I love the light, for it shows me the way. Sunlight of success. When was the heightened period of your life when you had that sunlight of success shining on you? Is it right now? Was it 10 years ago? When was it? Yet I love the darkness, for it shows me the stars. The stars, mythologically being diamonds, that which is most important. Have you had an experience that stripped away all the success and had you look at life differently? I was talking to a gentleman this afternoon who used to be worth millions of dollars. Exotic sports cars, Bentleys, Prevost motorhomes, $2 million house, incredible lifestyle. Had some things happen, it all crashed. And he's grateful to have $500 in his checking account. grateful. I love the darkness, for it shows me the stars. You start to get grounded in what really matters. That's agape love. I welcome happiness, for it enlarges my heart. When does something happen that just brings you joy? We recently had a granddaughter born. That just brings us joy. Yet I'll endure sadness, for it opens my soul. This is Khalil Gibran. That our heart gets harrowed out, and the deeper that it's harrowed out, the more room it has for joy. It opens my soul. I will acknowledge rewards, for they are my due, yet I will welcome obstacles, for they are my challenge. We welcome obstacles. Why would we welcome an obstacle? It's not so we get more of them. It's because we're going to get them. And we welcome when they come. We look for the good in them. We look for the lesson in them. So we say, why would we do that? Because our other option is to resent it and resist it and fight it and be angry about it, which creates nothing. It just impedes our progress. If we embrace it, we figure it out, we get through it, and we can move on to the other side. That's how we'll do it. That's how we're going to love people. That's how we're going to be more than a peddler in the marketplace. That's how we're going to open their souls. We're going to open it because we know the rain. We know the darkness. We know the sadness. We know the obstacles. These are great blessings when we see them. Not that we'd ever want to do some of them again, but if we can see the gifts that have come into our lives because of them, it helps shape our character, help us become who we are. This is agape love. It's choosing to look at our own circumstances differently and then using that knowledge in the service of another person. Because now we're going to start looking for the good in that person. We're going to scratch for reasons to gossip. We're going to dig for reasons to compliment. We're going to take down the walls of hate and suspicion which they built around their hearts. In this place, we're going to build a bridge so that our love, our awareness, can enter their soul. It's a powerful scroll. That's agape. When we understand this piece, that we're going to look at life differently, it will bring into focus all of our experiences. We'll see them differently. We truly will be born anew. We'll see them for what they are. Opportunities to grow. So that's agape. Second principle, walls of resistance. Everybody's got one. Robert S. Hartman, Dr. Hartman measured it, that in a non-adversarial role, I've shared this with you many times, that people hold back huge reserves of cooperation and productivity, on average 40% in a non-adversarial relationship. That's an enormous amount of cooperation and productivity. When we're trying to present something to someone or they feel like they're being sold, that goes up to 80, 90, even 100%. That wall holding it all back. We don't get any of it. So everybody's got a wall of resistance. We've tried to take it down with sledgehammers, maybe. We may have tried to take it down strategically by pretending one thing by really trying to get something else. We may have tried to take it down by throwing up all over it. But if we leave this conversation more aware tonight that everybody's got one, everybody's got one. The only place I have seen an absence of a wall of resistance is in a doctor-patient relationship, where there's such extreme trust because of someone's profession, because of their credentials. It's not true of everyone, but when it's present, there isn't a wall. It's one of the reasons why physicians have a hard time functioning in tangible reality in like a home-based business or network marketing, because all of a sudden they're facing a wall they have never faced in their profession. They rarely have resistance of any kind because they're the doctor. When they step outside of being the doctor and they become the business owner, they instantly start feeling something they don't normally deal with. It's hard for someone like that. If you're in a home-based business and you're trying to talk to a doctor about the business, bring this up to them. Everybody's got a wall of resistance, except in their doctor-patient relationships. But that is not normal, nor does it get carried out into real life. That is uniquely reserved for their practice. So everybody's got a wall, except for in that kind of a situation where there's such extreme trust. Generally, that trust has to be earned. But interestingly, for physicians, it's almost always just given. That's the wall. Number three, tools. We take down the wall with tools. The tools are empathy, which is our life experience, and intuition, which is our inner sense of knowing, our gut feel. We get our empathy through our life experiences. This is the Chicago dream, which I won't rehearse again tonight. Taking this stuff out of our sack and putting it in our heart. Our life experiences, our single greatest asset, which we're now going to use to better understand what somebody else is going through. That's where empathy comes from, and that's the tool we're going to use to take it down the walls. So that's number three. Number four, intrinsic validation. Intrinsic validation. It has a few parts, subparts. I'll give those to you. Intrinsic validation means we are going to connect by helping another person feel understood. That's all it's about, intrinsic validation. We're going to validate them by helping them feel understood. This is the greatest gift we can give someone. Intrinsic validation has several parts. Put an A in your outline. A is we're going to notice. We're going to notice a person. We're going to notice what's important to them. We're going to notice when they do good. We're actually going to start noticing. And we see more than we say. So we're going to notice and we're going to verbalize. We're going to notice it and say it. Notice it and say it. Notice it and say it. That's A under intrinsic validation. Okay? Everybody have that? Now, if you have a tendency to be judgmental, practice red flags, green flags. That's in both the book and in your intentional creation studio. B, listening. Listening. And after that, just write, be safe. Be safe. We have lost this art in our nation. We're not listeners. We're talkers. Listeners are listening, and they're not listening to respond. They're listening to understand. They're not formulating an answer. They're not trying to say something. They are just listening to understand. So B is to be a listener. Be safe. C. Questions. Questions. Generally born out of our own life experience. Do you ever experience this when that's happening? It's an empathetic question born of our own life experience. Can't script those, by the way. They're born out of our listening. We're listening. Oh, I wonder if. So I ask an empathetic question. When we're asking empathetic questions, we create a safe place. So let's write a safe place. Questions. Empathetic questions. Safe place. Because when we're asking empathetic questions, a person is starting to feel understood. Oh, finally, somebody understands what I'm experiencing. Ah, can you feel it? That's when trust is established. When trust is established, this is such a key point. When trust is established, there is no longer a need for a wall. The wall is because of hate and suspicion. Now there's trust. Wall comes down. Imagine a dam holding back water except for its cooperation and productivity. The dam comes down and the cooperation and productivity flood out, and I'm washing over my body with my hands. It floods out over us. It's discernible. It feels good, it's joyful. Wow. Cooperation and productivity. When we create this space, we can learn a great deal about a person. I had someone the other day, I was doing an assessment debrief. Stepped into her world, created the trust. Asked her about a measurement. And she told me about her single greatest dream for her life. It was all over her assessment. And then she said this to me. You're the only human being I have ever told. Wow. What an honor to be in that space with her. Thank you for creating a safe place where I can talk about that. You'll be sitting in an airport having a conversation with someone, and they'll say, I've never told anybody this, but. You get to be in this incredible place. When you ask those kinds of questions, empathetic questions, you learn great things about people. The answers are in the questions. The answers are in the questions. So that's C, questions. D, call it a new moment of decision. New decision, if you want to say that in your outline. I've created trust. Their walls have come down. They have shared with me. I have learned some things. You know, in fact, I have some ideas of how they could address that. I might have a product that would help them, a business opportunity that would serve them. I've got things that could help or not. Because my new moment decision is going to go into one of two directions. One, they feel understood. I'll thank them for sharing, and I will leave. And I will leave them better than I found them. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day. I send my best with you. Well, thank you. Other option is, I really would like to share this. And if you're going to share something, this is a moment where you make a decision. Am I doing this for me, or am I doing this because it will truly serve and bless their life? Make that decision. E, timing. Is this the right time? There's a part of us that always wants to make it the right time. You will know. Trust your gut. I know I have violated this, and it has created nasty problems. You don't want to violate this. You don't want to burn this bridge. If you build a bridge, you can walk back over it tomorrow. Now, it could be the right time, so if it is, then share. When you share, you're inviting them into your world to share. So, F, A, B, C, D, E, F. F, the last, is invite. You're going to invite them to share. There's some things I'd like to share with you. You shared this and this and this, and I've got some ideas. May I share them with you? That's intrinsic validation and outline. Agape love. Everybody's got a wall of resistance. We take it down with empathy and intuition. We use the principle of intrinsic validation. A, we notice. B, we listen. C, we ask empathetic questions. D, new moment of decision. E, timing. F, invite. It's a simple outline. If you'll follow that outline, read the book. Today I begin a new life on this section. It starts about page 57. Go to your intentional creation studio, quality number one, and listen to the little audio sections. Just get comfortable with this. There's several examples in both the book and on the audio to help you get comfortable with practicing and practicing and practicing. But it's as simple as I've said it to you. Agape love, a heightened level of awareness. Everybody's got a wall. I see the wall, so I'm not going to try to just throw up on them. I'm going to open up those doors with empathy and intuition. I'm going to practice intrinsic validation. I'm going to notice people and verbalize. I am going to listen and be safe. I'm going to create a safe place by asking questions. When those walls come down, maybe enough. to assess what I'd like to share to make sure it's really going to bless their life. If it is, then I analyze, is this the right time? If it is, then I share. Now, in this last piece, I want to mention a couple of things. Two things. One, you may have some objections that come up. Don't be impatient. You know, it's not like you've been listening, so it's their turn to listen. Just step back into their world. Tell me more about it. Share with me what's causing the challenge. What's happened? Let them process it a little bit. And lastly, this is not about being soft, warm and fuzzy. It's about caring enough about another person to step into their world, create a safe enough place for them to be real. You may discover when they are that you really don't want to be with them. In a relationship, in a business, you may not want to have them as a prospect. You may not want to have them recruited into a business. This is a wise thing to do. You don't want to have those intuitive feelings and then pursue something and end up in a bad relationship or hurting cats. This is about accuracy. You're caring enough about them to step into the world till they feel understood. The blessing to you is you now truly understand them. Is this someone I really want to be associated with? Because there are some, not many, but there are some rattlesnakes out there. And you never want to put one in a sleeping bag. Because you climb in with a rattlesnake in there and it will bite you, because that's what rattlesnakes do. There's your outline for intrinsic validation. Now, question. Does anybody have a specific situation? Someone they would like to talk to that perhaps has got, there's a wound that needs to be mended. Or there's someone they would like to talk to about a business situation. They're not sure how to approach it. Or in a relationship. Anybody that would like to explore a specific situation, I just want to create some time for us to do that. So if there's anybody that would like to do that, or if anybody has a question about our outline, come off of mute. If I'm not recognizing you, you're on mute, so press *6 and come off of mute. And let me serve you tonight. Is there anyone that I can serve this evening? Okay, well, let's practice this. You're on scroll number 2 this week. Scroll number 2, I'll greet this day with love in my heart. Faithfully study it 3 times a day. Start your morning with it. Midday, read it again or listen to it just before you go to bed at night. Let it seep into your soul. And when you are studying scroll number 2, do not forget the last segment of the scroll is one of the most important. Og even states it that way. It's interesting how he states it. And he said, and most of all, after all this explanation about looking for the good and taking down walls of resistance and letting the arrows of hate and the spears of anger be turned in the softest of rain, saying silent to myself, I love you, all directed outwardly, and most of all, I will love myself. When I do, I will zealously inspect all things which enter my body, my mind, my soul, and my heart. Never will I overindulge the request of the flesh. Rather, I'll cherish my body with cleanliness and moderation. This is your body. We just buried my uncle last Friday, my favorite uncle. I'm sitting here looking at some calcite that's about 10 inches high and 10 inches wide, some big spikes on it. I'm looking at a geode from about a 12-inch wide rock by an 8-inch wide rock, long by wide. It's been cut in half. It's got this incredible geode inside, a massive deposit of copper. Went over there last night to visit my aunt, and these were rocks which he wanted me to have. And they're here. He He wore out his body. He had diabetes. They'd amputated his leg the previous Friday before he passed away on Sunday. He had a hard time controlling his sugar cravings, and it killed him. Bless his heart, what a great man, a geologist. Never I will indulge the requests of my flesh, rather I'll cherish my body. Never will I allow my mind to be attracted to evil and despair. Many of you have the gift of vivid visualization, and you use that to catastrophize. You will go to the depths of hell in 10 seconds. It will just take you down that path. Rather, I will uplift it with knowledge and wisdom of the ages, intrinsic validation, stepping into other people's worlds, using my mind constructively. Never will I allow my soul to become placent and satisfied. Rather, I'll feed it with meditation and prayer. I might add service as well. Never allow my heart to become small and bitter. Rather, I will share it. When we're dragging around that sack of all that crazy stuff that's happened in our life, we can become small and bitter. When we take it out of the sack, we put it into our heart and wear it and share that experience in the service of another person by asking empathetic questions, my heart will grow and warm the earth. That's a powerful sentence. So never will I allow my heart to become small and bitter by hanging on to and clinging on to all the hurt and pain and failure and frustration. I'm going to see it for what it is, an experience. It's prepared me to serve. I'm going to share with another person, and it will grow and warm the earth. And he ends with this sentence. With love, I will, if I have no other qualities, I can succeed with love alone. Without it, I will fail, though I possess all the knowledge and skills of the world. Remember, this love is agape love, a heightened level of awareness. So enjoy the scroll this week. Practice these principles. Step into people's worlds and start practicing at the highest level possible. Listening. Turn this into an art form. I will make this my greatest weapon. Muscle can split a shield and even destroy life, but only the unseen power of love will open the hearts of men till I master this art. I'm no more than a peddler in the marketplace. Let us, with all our energy, focus on mastering this art this week. Well, thanks, everybody. It's been a joy to be with you tonight. Now, next week, we're going to be right back into mental creation, how to use our vivid visualization. I just know many of you are still in catastrophe and fantasy. It's just killing you. We want to discipline ourselves to get out of this, not go there, to be focused on using our mind those five constructive ways, and I'll be excited to start that journey with you next week of mental creation. Everybody have a wonderful week, and we'll see you then. Come off of mute and say goodnight, if you would, please.
Good night, Dave. Thanks
good night, Dave.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Dave.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night, Dave.